Well, good morning. Happy New Year to everyone. I trust you all had a really wonderful Christmas. I know we did, and celebrated the New Year on our farm, just my wife and I, and hear the cattle lowing and mooing around. But a good way to start the New Year, isn't it, in the house of God? And so we just come today to just celebrate all the goodness of God's glory upon our lives. Amen. Amen. Just while I was on the farm, you walk out at night and the stars just seem to be so much brighter out in the country. I think it's because of all the city lights just take all the gloss off the stars. But go out at night and there's one star out in the west that just shone so bright, and it just constantly reminded me of you know, how the shepherds, you know, they looked at that star and followed the star wherever it went. But it was just good to see. But it was just wonderful, just the way that star just shone so bright. And I thought, well, that's what the shepherds probably seen. And they were attracted to that great light who was Jesus Christ. Amen. As I said, we spent time on the farm, and I feel I can qualify to manage a pet shop, I think, after spending all last week on the farm. They got the mice, they got the yabbies, they got the rabbit, they got the budgie, they got the dogs. They got everything. And so looking after all those things, plus the sheep and the goat, the cows, I had a good week. It was a good way to just get away and just relax. And there's grass up this high. I have to get in the back of the ute to find the cattle. But not quite. It's a bit of an Aussie exaggeration. But it's just great to see, you know, the blessing of God, the abundance of rain, just how much it's turned the seasons around to what we've had over the last couple of years. But this morning I'm going to speak about facing the year. But first of all, I think we'll watch that video clip. I've got a video clip just like us to have a little look at that.
You know what I love about life? Time. It's pretty brilliant, actually. I mean, the sun comes up, and then it goes down, and every morning when that happens, what do you get? You get a new day. You get a new one. It's kind of like when you look at something. When you set your eyes on it, you take in the images. And every time you do that, before you can blink, the images change. These images of life, they're always changing, always new. Every second we capture is fresh. This second that I exist in blows past me like the wind. Then another second passes, and another, and another, and another. I look at my reflection and understand I'm not the same man I was 10 seconds ago. Always growing, always taking in, always renewing. And every second is this beautiful new chance for new life. A new original moment of life that's filled with potential. Potential to love. Potential to affect change in myself and in others. Potential to grow. And this year, may God grant me the ability to seize the day. To seize every second and unravel His purpose. His potential for me. And that's it. That's what I love about life. Time.
We're changing all the time, aren't we? And I believe that's what God wants for us. But every second, you know, it's gone, isn't it? And so we continue to just go ahead. But God sees us. He wants us to grow, to grow well for His glory and to be used, to seize every moment that God has given us. He's been so gracious, so good to us. And God wants us to just take every opportunity to grasp hold of all His goodness, everything that He has placed before us, and to take on in our lives, that, you know, we might be a fruitful product for God's glory. Amen. This morning I'm sharing from the book of Philippians in chapter 3, but my message this morning is about facing the new year, and I'm sure everyone has been contemplating that a lot. Just before I go, I'd like to share this little story. And it goes on to say, there's an old story about a happy little boy who went out into the playground wearing a baseball cap, carrying a baseball in one hand and a bat in the other. And he walked out full of confidence. And gripping his bat, he tossed the ball into the air and he said, "I'm the greatest batter in the world." And he swung and missed the ball. "Strike one," he said. And he picked up the ball and he had a look at it, threw it up in the air again. He swung again and he missed. "Strike two." First of all, he said, "I'm the greatest batter in the world." But once again, he missed. And he said, "Strike two." But this time, he stopped to examine the ball, and he wasn't sure whether it's the ball. He looked at the ball and he looked at the bat to check there wasn't a hole in his bat and it was missing. He picked up the ball and he adjusted his cap again. He threw the ball in the air for the third time, and he said again, "I'm the greatest batter in the world." And he swung with all his might, and he missed for the third straight time. And he said, "Wow." He cried out, "What a pitcher. I'm the greatest pitcher in the world." Today is the first Sunday, amen? And as I said, it's a good way to start the year off, that we're to be found in the house of God. And I'm sure as we look back over the last 12 months, I'm not sure whether most of us would be considered batters or pitchers, but one thing is for sure, at times we've all struck out, haven't we? At times we've missed that mark. At times we've failed or missed that opportunity to make an impact, or failed in some way to make a difference into someone's life. And I suppose that sometimes we could have even damaged our witness or our integrity, you know, through something we've said or done. You know, we just missed out completely. So it's good to be able to start off afresh. God is the God of new beginnings. We heard that this morning through the Word. And God always gives us that opportunity, because God is a God who forgives. Amen. And where we're at times a bit slow to forgive, God is not. He is a just God, a compassionate God, and He is willing to forgive and overlook. And God has that wonderful ability about Him that he can overlook our faults and misgivings. Amen? And so this is the beginning of a whole new year, this year 2011. I'm sure it brings a great opportunity to start afresh and with a real purpose, and declare that God has given me the opportunity to do things better than I did last year. Amen? I'm sure that's for each and every one of us, that God has given us another chance. And I think it's something that, you know, we shouldn't have any problem particularly coming out of a year and learning what it means to be unashamed. That was our theme for the year, wasn't it? About being unashamed in our walk with God. About unashamed of being about our faith and our belief, and how we can stand strong in Jesus Christ. And that was what we learned all about throughout the whole year, about this being unashamed of owning this Saviour, being a part of God's wonderful kingdom, being unashamed to stand up and say, "Yes, I love Jesus." And so we know in this year we shouldn't have any problem, because we've gone through all that, haven't we? And so that should just strengthen us to face this year, to embrace this coming year in faith and in anticipation that, you know, of the, and we should be eagerly looking forward to that. But and I'm sure many people, we all hear of everyone making resolutions. That seems to be the end thing about the new year. But I believe for us, you know, that there's one good resolution that we can all make this year, one good resolution that we can embrace, and that would be to say, this year I'm going to attend a home group. This year I'm going to be a part of ladies. This year I'm going to be part of youth group. All the things that we embrace within our church groups and fellowships where people can grow and learn more and develop in their walk with God. But I believe, you know, that this year we know we can declare and say, you know, I'm going to attend a home group. I'm going to be there. I want to be a part of that. This year I'm going to sow my life into the church. This year into the life of church and growing my personal relationship with Jesus Christ and be a real encouragement to my fellow believers and my brothers and sisters here in Grow Church. Amen? I'm sure that's what God wants for each and every one of us. In the book of Joshua, we look there in Joshua chapter 3. I've lost Joshua. He's here somewhere on here we go. In the book of Joshua chapter 3, Joshua here speaking to the Israelites. And we see here how Joshua, he called upon the people to concentrate themselves, concentrate to get ready and to see the amazing things that God is about to do. Sister Kayleen brought that this morning in the word there, and I was thrilled to hear that. But in the book of Joshua chapter 3, starting here at verse 5, where it says, Joshua told the people, concentrate yourselves for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things. And Joshua said to the priest, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so that they may know that I am with you, just as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. And Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living this is how you know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you all your enemies and adversities. And it goes on to list them all there. But church, I really believe that's a word for the church today, amen? That as Joshua called upon the people there, he said, get ready, get ready. We're in the new year. It's time to get ready. We should have been preparing before it came, but it's here. And so God wants us to step out and to see the amazing things that he is going to do. And as I said, I believe that's a real word for us today, to prepare ourselves, to get ready, and to see the amazing things God is about to do, not what he's already done. We know that. We love and appreciate that, and we receive everything that God has done before. But in the now, what God has done, he said, get ready, for today you will see. Today, you will see what God is going to do. And he said, listen to the word of the Lord. Today is the day for us to go and stand in the river. That's what God wants us to do, to stand in the river of faith, amen? And it's time to get our feet wet, isn't it? You know, well, we probably talk a lot, we say a lot, but do we do? Do we get in the water and get our feet wet? Do we get out there where the people are hurting and people who don't know Christ? And that's where God wants us to be. He wants us to be in the midst of it, doesn't he? And to be bringing forth that word and telling people that the good news that Jesus lives. And I'm sure that's God's desire, is that that we do that. And as we do that, we embrace this new year with expectant and anticipating hearts. With a real desire that we can make a difference here in our community and at Grow Church. Amen? So I ask this morning, what do you anticipate for this year? What do you see what this year's going to be? And I'm sure many of you will say, well, I certainly hope it's going to be better than last year. I'm sure we all have that desire within us, don't we? We always want something, no matter how good the year's been. We're sort of greedy in that sense, aren't we? That we want to see something better. We want to see more. And again, Kayleen spoke of that. You know, God has more for us, and he wants us to have that more things and to do that. And so again, I ask you, are you full of anticipation and eagerly looking forward to what each day will bring? Or are you looking back on the downside of are you looking on the downside that 2011 will be worse than to the 2010 for you? Or again, I ask, or are you like the little boy with the bat? And if you are, may I suggest, you know, that your attitude, our frame of mind, will largely determine, is it a year of victory or is it a year of defeat? And I declare it's a year of defeat of the enemy's plans and purposes. Amen? And so as we see, you know, that's what God wants for us, doesn't he? All the best. We will wish each other all the very best for the new. Well, that's what God wants for us. That's what God wants for each and every one of us. And I suppose if we look at the Apostle Paul, his life, he never let circumstances conquer him, did he? And he says, rather, with the help of God, he was determined to win the victor's crown. And we should be determined. We should have that anticipation. We should be eager in all our efforts, all our desires and the things of God, that these things will come to pass. Amen? And so, as I say that, I'd just like to look at that this morning as we see, you know, if we listen with the attitude and the dedication and the determination that shine through the words of the apostle. And in the book of Philippians in chapter 3, verses 12 onwards there. And here it speaks about pressing towards the goal. And we know how zealous Paul was about that, you know, about pressing on, about reaching, you know, for the victory. And so, you know, with the words of Paul fresh in our mind, you know, we just need to do that, to press forward to that goal and to be all that we can be in this year 2011. Good. Probably wish it was only that far back. Okay. Now that I have already obtained all this, not that I have already obtained this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. And Paul says, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to be taken hold of, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind. And this is where we fail miserably, don't we? We're not prepared to forget the past. And Paul says this is what we've got to do. Forgetting what is behind and straining forward to what is ahead, toward what is ahead. He says, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Jesus Christ. And verse 15 says, all of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make it clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. It's an encouraging word, isn't it? A powerful word from the apostle there. It just shows how determined he was to press on, to get to where God wants him to be. And we, as we know that about Paul there, but this is what God wants us for, every one of us. You know, none of us arrive. We're not there yet. That's an ongoing process, isn't it? Day-to-day experiences, we live in Christ. But we do that, and we have that. We need to have that desire that the apostle had about straining toward what is ahead. You know, that more. We strain, we look forward, we hope, have that hope that God's going to do a good thing, a new thing, a better thing in my life. And so as we do that, we just have to have a good look at ourselves, don't we? And first of all, I suppose something we need to do is recognising the value of our time, how we use our time. Am I going to use it for God's glory, or am I going to just sit on what God's done in my life? And I'm sure that we've all said at some point of time, if I only had my time over again. How many times have you heard that? How many times have you said it yourself? You know, you've probably said, oh, I wouldn't have let that happen. I wouldn't have said that or done that. But we've all been guilty of that, haven't we? And of making a statement like that. And so time is very precious, isn't it? How do we value a year? How do we value a day? I suppose how do you value a year? Well, ask any student who failed their exam. Their mark wasn't good enough to constitute a pass. And they probably said, I've wasted a year. Wasted a year. I've wasted all that time. Probably you could ask all those unfortunate people in Queensland who are in dire straits at the moment, you know, in tragic circumstances. What a way to start a new year. You know, you might think you're doing it tough or something's not right today, but have a look at them. The houses are underwater. And you could probably say to them, well, why didn't you build the holy ground? Well, it's a record flood. And it's like when God, Noah's time, you know, God submerged the whole world, earth, didn't he? But you probably say in our smartness to them, well, why didn't you build on a higher ground? But it is high ground, but it's an abnormally high flood too. But we can look back and say and do many things differently, can't we? In my wife's word this morning, she said there about God doesn't use a calendar or something about a calendar. But I'm sure God doesn't wear a wristwatch or use the calendar. God's not mindful of those things, is he? With God, a day is but 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is but a day. God deals with eternity, doesn't he? Amen? God deals with eternity, and time is not an important factor to him. But to us, time is important, isn't it? Because we only have a limited time frame. We only have this lifespan here on earth. And we begin as little babies in infancy, and we go through all the stages of life and to old age and to everything that follows. And we seem to live life in segments of time, don't we? This, then, so on. But so, you know, we probably ask the question, you know, what makes something valuable? Why is sometimes time is valuable? And oftentimes, you know, it becomes a scarcity. And we know if there's a scarcity of a commodity or a product, you know, the price of it escalates quickly. It's in Coles supermarket on Saturday morning there and going through the vegetables and fruit and all that, and Coles know very well the scarcity of a product and how to jump on the bandwagon very, very, very quickly before it's even 100% known that there is a shortage. They're already getting hold of that. But time is a precious thing, isn't it? And so, you know, we probably look at young people and they feel, you know, they have plenty of time, you know, and therefore to them time loses its value. It doesn't have a really big meaning, you know. They're not concerned about it or the lack of time, you know. But so to those over, to us over 50, you know, we tend to look at those under 20 and say, you know, don't waste your time, don't squander time. You know, I look back at my own lifetime and I regret, you know, some of the time that I wasted, especially at school. You know, if I didn't like a subject and it didn't go down too well, well, sadly, I just didn't apply myself and I regretted it ever since. You know, I struggled through a lot of areas of life and it just made it so much harder for when I did get to a stage in life, you know, and I had to really battle and had to make up for lost time. And, you know, even for the years, you know, I always knew God was there, always walked in God. But just coming to that realisation that Jesus Christ is a person. And, you know, I always lived a godly life, a righteous life, but coming to that realisation of just knowing that, yeah, Jesus is there and he's a person and he is the one who we have access to the Father through. And so I say, and that's why I say I regret that I took that long to really come to that time in life to make that decision, say, yes, Jesus, I'm full on, you know, and done that ever since. But, so, you know, time is very important and how we use it. But as I said, you know, we look at the younger children and the age gap, and the wider the generation gap, because of the values that we place in time. But the Bible speaks often; it speaks there about the brevity of life quite a bit, and it compares life. It says in Psalms, to the weaver's shuttle, you know, how it's rapidly going back and forth. It's like a knitting machine, a sewing machine, you know, how fast they work, all like Tim, things like that. And also it refers to the shadows of summer, how the shadows of summer fade and coming into autumn time, the days start to get shorter, don't they? And quickly disappears. The grass that over the fence now, it slowly dies off and is burned brown. But and so we see that how times change so quick, as that young man spoke about in the video clip we looked at. But so it's no wonder, you know, you could ask, the psalmist asked in the book of Psalms, chapter 8 and verse 4, where it says, "What is man that you are mindful of him?" And we know it was there, it's referring to Christ, but what is God, why is God so mindful about us? Why are we so important to him? Why? I ask it. Can someone tell me? Quick, you should be able to say, "God is in me." That quick. That's what it's about, folks. You know, we have to respond. You know, that's why, as God is mindful. What is man that you are mindful of him? And I believe God is mindful, amen? God is mindful because we are his creation and he is in us. And therefore, you know, we're part of this wondrous kingdom that we so wonderfully enjoy. And so there, we see that. But there are many statistics being done and people have come up with all sorts of things about how much time we sleep, how much time we watch television, how much time we walk and drive around in cars, dozens of things, and it only probably bore you going through a lot of them. But, you know, so people come up with all these statistics, and they said that it would cover about an average lifespan of about 75 years. And if you're around my age, getting towards that, well, you're beginning to realise that that it's not very long at all, is it? And someone even they went to all that trouble. And one of the statistics they did, I think I spoke this sometime many years ago, and I spoke about it. But if they said if you spent your whole over your whole lifetime, you went for church for 75 years in God's house, for 75 years, even going to midweek meetings, how much time do you really think you would spend worshipping God? Anyone care to dare to guess? The researchers said 5.5 months. In a 75-year lifespan. Not long, is it? Not long, really. And being generous, you know, going to home groups and midweek meetings and all that, you could probably say, well, 11 months out of that 75 years, I've been worshipping God. And it seems a very, very little significant amount in a lifespan of 75 years, doesn't it? But it just goes to show there about the brevity of life, how things go, but most of all about our priorities in life. What's our priority? What do we do? And the Word of God teaches there about the uncertainty of life. That young man spoke about how, you know, the sun goes up and the sun goes down. I thought he's a bit like here in Ecclesiastic. You know, what's the meaning of life? The sun goes up, we go to bed, we get up again. The speaker there in Ecclesiastics, he was, you know, just relating all this stuff, wasn't he? And what was the meaning? So monotonous, he seemed to think. And he got to that place and he said, Lord, I know that you are in control of everything. And life does have a meaning. Life does have a purpose. And our purpose is for us to tell the world that Jesus Christ lives. Amen. Amen. So at this time, you know, time is a valuable commodity and it's a very precious and delicate, in a very precious and delicate vessel, and it might break at any moment and we might lose it altogether. It's very brief. So we have this moment, we have this time, this very time, don't we, where God can use it for his glory, amen, to be a part in being the people that God wants us to be. But because of the uncertainty of life, the Bible says, now is the accepted time. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Today is the day for anyone here this morning. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Saviour, as our brother shared about in communion time this morning, for those who don't know yet know Jesus, today is your today. Today is your time when you can come forward at the end of the service or even in your own time. Don't go out of this building today if you haven't said yes to Jesus. Today is the accepted time. And the writer of the book of Hebrews says, when you hear the name of the Lord, don't harden your hearts. There's a powerful message there. There's a powerful warning that says, don't harden your hearts. When you hear someone speak about the Lord, don't become hard. Allow that little space in there that opportunity for Christ to come into your life, because life is so uncertain. We don't know what a day to bring. We don't know what's ahead of us tomorrow. So we must take advantage of the time that we have, that moment. And as the Apostle Paul said, you know, don't let the past hold you and stop you from going forward, to stop you from pressing forward. And Paul, that's why Paul said, he said, I forget what lies behind. Paul had a shaky past, as we know, don't we? He used his authority to kill Christians. And by his own admissions, he said, I'm the chief of sinners. And Paul could have walked around all his life with this tremendous burden of guilt of what he'd done. But he said, no. And, you know, and if that ever happened, we wouldn't have heard of this great apostle and who we know and love today. But Paul's words, and he said in that book, he said, God, I commit to you. I seek your forgiveness for all the sins of the past. For all the sins of the past. And he says, and I look forward to what lies ahead. And that's an encouragement for every person here today, that we can look forward to what lies ahead. We don't know, but we can look forward with that hope and certainty that God is going to do a great thing. So as I just come to a conclusion now, we need to just follow Paul's words and the words of God, and that we will make every effort, to be the person that God wants us to be, and press onwards towards the goal for the prize for which God has called me to do. Amen? And just to say that, you know, we've gone through another Christmas season in which the world again has been reminded that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. In his love, God offered us the most precious gift of all, the most wondrous gift of all, Jesus Christ. And it was Jesus who said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. Do you believe that today? That you will receive this more, that you will be part of this wonderful kingdom, and all these things will be added unto you. If you seek God, you will find him. If you ask God, he will give. If you ask God, you will receive. And he will add unto you all these things. Let everything that God has to offer be added unto you this day. Amen? Amen. Father God, we just again rejoice, Lord, of your wondrous love toward us, that you gave us your one and only Son in and through the person of Jesus Christ. And so again, Lord, as we just celebrate all your goodness, our heart goes out, Lord, to those who don't know you yet, for those in need. And so, Lord, we just think of others who are not as fortunate as us, that we can rejoice in your goodness. So, Lord, our heart is your heart, Lord, that people might come to know you. And, Lord, especially this day, we just think of those in the flooded regions of Queensland, Lord, our heart goes out to these people, Lord, that they may receive the help that they need. Lord, that the frustration of living out of their homes and just see their homes so savagely devastated in that way. But Lord, we just, through all this, Lord, out of this circumstance, may it be used, Lord, again, for your glory, to show that, to maybe just to show people, Lord, that you are still the Lord of all, that you are the Lord of the seasons. Lord, you bring, you give. And so, Lord, Job said, we take the good with the bad. And so, Lord, we just to praise your mighty name this day, and we can rejoice and be glad because of your wondrous gift to us in and through Jesus. And so we say, thank you, Father God, and we bless you and thank you, Jesus. Amen.